Smells like shoe polish.
Be quiet. We have a promo to do. I'm Jeff Berry, and this is my hetero podcast mate, Chris Durkosh. We are the hosts of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We break down the Kevin Smith films featuring Jay and Silent Bob 1 minute at a time, starting with Clerks.
I have a hockey game at 12.
Please. So if you ever worked a job behind the counter discussing Star Wars while slinging coffee, nudie mags, and cigarettes...
Cancer merchant.
Cool down. Or if you ever leaned outside a convenience store, secretly hated all your customers, or closed your place of business to attend a funeral, you should join us at Jay and Silent Bob Minute on DuelingGenre.com as we discuss the Milkmaids, Berserkers, and the significance of the number 37.
In a row?
Come for the Clerks and stay for the rest of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute fun. Chris?
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies. And today we're talking about Dracula 79, this time minutes 100 to 105. And joining me for this podcast once again is author Laws. Thank you for calling back in to talk about England's vampire movie, which you seem to have some connection to being in England.
Indeed. We even have our own like Dracula experiences in Whitby itself. That's how, you know, proud we are of Dracula.
And we begin these 5 minutes with our painting of Scarsborough, and then ends with Lucy peeking over to watch the demise of Count Dracula as we are at the end of this film. So we begin the 5 minutes, and I was watching it with the commentary by John Bannerman. He talks about how this set was used in a BBC series about Charles Darwin going to a tropical island, and the boat was used in that as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know
the
that.
Boat was reused, and this whole set was reused for a Charles Darwin BBC series shortly thereafter.
Oh, they probably saved a bit of money then by doing that.
He said that the interior of the boat is a set, and the camera is just rocking back and forth to give the illusion that the boat is swaying from side to side as our intrepid heroes track down Count Dracula and find him in the embrace of Lucy. And they take her and, of course, try to stab Dracula, but Dracula immediately wakes up, and we have a big fight scene happen between Jonathan Harker, Van Helsing. And now, a lot of these scenes, by the way, this is not Laurence Olivier, because he was too sick to do this fight scene, so it's his stuntman doing it with a lot of different shots to make it look like Laurence Olivier's in there.
Yeah, that is actually one of the things on IMDb that they mentioned, that it is a stunt double that is obviously seen.
Yes, Laurence Olivier was at the last of his lifespan around the time this movie came out, and would die a few years shortly after, but he was incredibly sick while making this movie. So a lot of the scenes where he's sitting down and doing nothing or standing and talking were incredibly taxing for him as well. So any fight scenes, any action scenes were not a Laurence Olivier.
No.
He was also hemorrhaging too. He could accidentally like scratch his hand. He could like completely bleed out.
Oh dear. Well, really good job with this movie.
The scene that really gets me is Dracula getting impaled by the hook by Harker.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm like being a bit picky, but like I'm no scientist, but like. He would have to go full force with the thing, the hook going right into his back, because it just like slings down onto him, and you'd have to do it at quite a strong force for it to impale Dracula, or anybody for that matter. But that really did make my spine tingle when it does actually impale him.
It looks like it hurts a lot.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you have the scene where you have the rope being pulled for Dracula to start flying, like ascending up into the sun, which is quite a majestic scene. And it's also quite nerve-chilling to listen to his screams as he knows he's about to face his demise. So kudos to the actor playing Dracula, Frank Langella. Langella. Yeah, that's his
Frank
name.
Langella. Frank Langella. Yeah, Frank Langella.
He did a really good job with the screaming. Like, that actually made me feel really uneasy.
The whole scene is just incredibly painful, too.
It is, yeah. And for 1979 as well, like, I can gather, like, in the movie sense, you wouldn't be able to set him on fire without doing any cause of damage. So they obviously went with the alternative where his skin is peeling off, which is quite an uncomfortable thing to actually witness. It's like he looks like a radiation burn victim.
Yeah, when that's happening, that's incredible. The director talks about how it's the Oxford Science Laboratory that created the nuclear image effects of the sun, as it seems like it's a solar flare that catches Dracula and really starts to hurt him.
It does, yeah. But again, it was something that was very uneasy to witness, like hearing him just screaming for him to be just completely burning from the sun, like he's getting an intense sunburn, and then just start like limping and just being swayed side to side as he's being hung by the hook.
It the makeup. It's every time he turns back to us to the cameras, we notice that the makeup gets a little bit more grotesque, and as he starts basically disintegrating from the sun.
Yeah, it's really well done. Like, it looks so realistic. Like, most modern movies these days don't do a great job with, like, the makeup. They have to kind of rely on CGI, whereas this is more practical effects. And if there's one thing I am very thankful for when it comes to movies is the effect of the effort of makeup and practical effects to give it more of a realistic vibe.
Go on.
So, yeah, I'm like, his death scene, like, it's really, like, uncomfortable to watch, but it's also very well acted, for definite. And just to see that glimpse of the sun, because you also get, like, a bit of a close-up of the sun, kind of like earlier in the movie, you had that James Bond kind of, like, special effect. You kind of have a little bit of that with the sun as he's, like, screaming for his demise.
And then Dracula, Lucy is trying to help Dracula, and she's being held down, and then she tries to see what happens, and that's basically how our 5 minutes ends right there, with Lucy about to peek over to look at her lover to see if, you know, how he's doing, which isn't so hot. No pun intended.
No, it is not. If there's one thing I would like to comment as well, I didn't get to mention this the last time, is the music for this scene, and pretty much the whole movie made by John Williams. It was absolutely brilliant. Like, he did a really good job with making the music for this movie.
Yeah, John Williams' score through this entire film is absolutely incredible. It's very different score for him because he was mostly tied to Steven Spielberg and George Lucas at this time period. So, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Star Wars, and Jaws and Superman the movie had all come out. So, this was a kind of a different direction for him. The fact that he did Jaws before, and that is considered like a horror movie. It's a monster film.
Yeah.
Dracula and then Jurassic Park are really only the other few like monster kind of those kind of films that he would do. Most of his scores, obviously, again accompanying Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, so when I saw his name in the opening credits, I knew I was going to be in for a good time when it came to the music, and he delivered perfectly.
Then our 5 minutes ends right there. Laws, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Laws Cadman author page. You can find me on Twitter, or X as they call it now, at Laws Cadman, and on Instagram as cherry_rabbit_Laws.
And you can find me over on the Radio Horror Network with my other podcasts. You can send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com. Or you can purchase my own version of Dracula, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, where we gender swap the cast of Dracula in a comic book, graphic novel, a couple tie-in books. There's a play script floating around right now that we're shopping around, as well as other little pieces of merchandise. But you can go over to Etsy or on Amazon to purchase a copy of Vlada, A Dracula Tale, written by me, art by Ken Hunt. And we'll be back next week with the final 4 minutes of Dracula 7-9 here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.